Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
If you could, please, we've got Miss Lopez in the background. If you could introduce her, that would be super awesome.
Wow.
Then we're going to toss it all over to Judge.
The beautiful Luna Lopez. She came to our candidate conversation that we had in Atlanta, and everybody was just absolutely blown away by not just her beauty, but the fact that she was real. You know, sometimes you can talk to people, and you hear what they say, and they share their experiences, and you know that this is the real deal. So we've got to get out of, you know, this concept of I'm black, so I have to vote Democrat. And like I said, instead of voting for people, we need to start voting for policy. And every policy she mentioned that day is something that I could get behind and support. And she's also from my city, originally from Atlanta. And, of course, migrated down to Florida, but everybody introducing the beautiful Luna Lopez to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Hi, Miss Lopez.
Well, guys, I'm going to let you guys take over the conversation. I've got to get back to another meeting, but everybody make sure that you follow Luna. You hear what she has to say and see if that's something that you can get behind and support. Valerie, I'll talk to you soon, and tell Judge I send my love.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much again for doing that. We appreciate you. Please be safe.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey there. I am so sorry.
Hi.
What timing, huh?
Oh, no problem. No time. No problem. We don't make mistakes here. We just make memories. So let's just keep rolling right on.
You know, there you
it's
go.
Great, it's great. Such is life. I'm sorry.
Right.
Where did you come up with that one? That's a new one.
Yeah, I have been
we don't
saying
mistake.
That pretty
we
much my
mistake
entire life.
To just make memory.
I've been saying that in my entire life. Yeah.
Okay.
When you're shy, you come up with all kind of slogans. You know, when you're in front of people and you do dumb stuff, I came up with a bunch of stuff. But she's live. She's with us. She's here, Judge. So I'm going to fall back. I know you absolutely love her. Everybody I've shared her information has fallen in love with her. So we can't wait to hear what the two of you guys cook up. Oh, and Kwame
okay.
Brown said hello, Miss Lopez.
Tell him I said hello. I just wanted to say that with that Angela's intro was very humbling and much appreciated.
Yeah, she's
yes.
Okay.
Now, tell us what you want to do. Tell us about
that.
Hey,
so, yeah, I'm running
Go
for
ahead.
Congress in Florida in the greater Jacksonville area, and I decided to run because I'm a mom and I feel a huge burden and responsibility to protect not just my kids, but all of the kids and these next generations from this psychological attack that is happening to our children, and not just, you know, socially, but academically as well. They're being gypped. So I decided to jump in this congressional race here in Florida because the incumbent that we have, who is a Republican, I'm a conservative, I'm a constitutional conservative, and I decided to primary him because he's really not doing anything. He's just kind of sitting there collecting dust and rubbing elbows with his buddies on the Hill. And we need somebody who's – we need more mama bears. We need mama bears.
Collecting dust, that's a good one. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
you know, you can kind of look at what's going on today relative to the children. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
Are they seriously expecting us not to see what they're doing and not to squawk about it? Or are they so arrogant and self-confident that they don't care? you know,
it's like
you get both sides and you get this thing, either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And it looks like, wow, these folk are definitely part of the problem. And who's trying to recruit these children for these perverts to play with?
Right. Exactly.
You know?
I think it's a little bit of both, because it's been such a slow conditioning process to change the mindset of our kids and our young adults, even my generation. I'm in my, you know, mid-30s, and to the point where they know that whatever they say is just going to be obeyed. You know, the establishment has skillfully, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard of the term psychological operation. That's what's been in play for 40, 50 years. And you can't just change society in a month or two. It's something that has been a slow conditioning process in the movement towards socialism and population reduction, and keeping, you know, minorities from being able to capitalize and take over. So, you know, arrogance,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, very arrogant. And it looks to me like this thing of duty, honor, obligation, responsibility, accountability, all that stuff is supposedly thrown out of the window, and it's just entitlement to whatever you want is supposed to be yours without having to put anything into it because you want it.
Right.
Doesn't work too well.
Nothing's ever free, though.
Yeah. They want you to think that way. And
right.
What I've noticed is when these kids get grown, they don't know how to cope with a competitive world, because it's not a world that gives out participation ribbons like they got all through school.
Yeah.
And
everybody's gotten
you didn't
talked.
Have. Yeah. It's kind of, what are you trying to do? There's a world out there, and it's very competitive, hyper-competitive, and you are trying to take the young citizens and turn them into cripples.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the best way to keep the elites on top. You have a society that lacks the intelligence to be able to climb and be successful. You know, here in Jacksonville, we've got 12th graders graduating reading at an 8th grade level. You know, when you go out into the world at a disadvantage like that, you're going to grind out, you know, most of your life. You're going to be exhausted by the time you're, you know, in your late 20s, 30s, because you're making nothing. So when you offer what looks to be this good deal on a silver platter, they're going to say, oh, yeah, sure, I'd love all this government support because I'm tired and I don't have the ability to, you know, to make it anywhere. So, you know, I think back when Bush put in that No Child Left Behind, you know, it really did a number on our kids across the country, because they're just pushing kids into the next grade regardless of whether they're meeting the markers. And, you know, I think that was by design.
I agree with you. It looks almost like somebody was carefully laying this out and trying to put it in place so it would happen.
Yeah.
I guess those who come from a background where everything is privileged and set up for their own benefit, they
right.
can say, well, we want to stay there, so let's wipe out the opportunities for the others so they can't compete, can't catch up.
Yeah.
Can't
exactly.
get up. Do you see any particular... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I go through some of the, you know, urban areas, and I talk to some parents, and, you know, the parents, at least my age, you know, I'm 36, so that age range, they don't even have their priorities straight with their kids. You know, they'll be like, oh, I don't want to take out a loan for my kid to go to college, or I want to, you know, bear that responsibility It's like, okay, all right, I get the financial responsibility, but are you spending time with your kids after school, making sure that they can actually comprehend the work that they're being sent home with? Are you spending time with your children as a family, making sure that, you know, they're going to be academically successful and maybe get a scholarship? And it's like the light bulb goes off because you see the guilt hit their face, because all they're concerned about is their fake Gucci and going out to, you know, on the weekends. And so I think there's a huge cultural conversation we need to have about just, you know, priorities and association, who we associate with, and setting goals and setting expectations for kids, because, you know, the government's not going to do it. So I think the responsibility really falls on the parents. And as leaders, we need to have those conversations with parents and get their minds in the right places.
I tell you what, why don't you start us down that rabbit hole and start having that conversation with us?
Oh, boy, is that a deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can dig a little bit out of it or fill it up.
Yeah, I would love to.
What do you? Yeah, we'll start going. You got the floor.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I think I mentioned it back in Atlanta about the nuclear families and how that's been under attack, especially in the Black community. You know, mothers are being rewarded for single, you know, parenthood. And that is an example of priorities not being instilled, correct, virtuous priorities. Because when you have, well, the Western male is being attacked. That's something I have a psychology degree, and that's something we studied very closely, because they're being emasculated. And so when you take the fathers out of the homes, but you can't even get Section 8 housing if you're married. So it's like there's all these rewards for staying unmarried, and the kids, especially the boys, suffer because they have no father in the home to show them what it means to be a man. And, you know, the generational pattern just continues. You know, they become absent for their kids, and they think that's the normal way of life. So, you know, that's one thing that I try to always bring conversation to, is the importance of keeping a family unit together.
That is very important. And one of the side effects of people doing what you're describing is that these boys don't become providers. They become gold diggers.
Right.
And that works out for no one.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's what
sad,
is your problem
that
here?
We've gotten to. Mm-hmm.
Like, what
yep.
is your problem, dude? How do you even perceive this is going to work? What I get is a response, what you mean, contribute to the household. We get $140,000 in our household. I bring in $25,000, and my woman, she bring in $115,000. Well, what do you bring in? $25,000. Well, that's not doing anything.
Yeah.
When are you going to contribute? Well, what you call that? Nothing. Just sitting on your lazy damn behind doing nothing because you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
I resent that.
Well,
good. Do something about it.
Well, the feminist movement didn't help that. And what's funny about that word feminism, which I have huge issues with, because just breaking it down just by English language, the art of language, like, it just means, the ism means to, you know, to be feminine. That's really what it means. But it's, the term has gotten hijacked, as in, like, woman power, which there's nothing, obviously, women have power in society in their natural places, but that's the problem, is the natural order of things have gotten switched and flip-flopped. You know, feminism truly is appreciating the femininity of a woman, you know, to be able to step back and go, okay, I'm weaker physically, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a negative thing, because God allows the man to have his place and shine, and with his power and his strength as a man that can bring home the bacon and throw the rack of ribs on the, you know, counter all dirty from, you know, his hard work and be proud of it. And then a woman, the strength she has that a man will never possess is her level of intuition and nurturing and ability to connect emotionally and, you know, break up little preschool fights in the house. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to have a man be a gentleman and chivalrous, and a woman be a lady. It doesn't mean she's weaker as in mentally or she's incapable, but when you have that exchange, the whole dynamic of love in a relationship, in a family, and the way the kids look at the parents changes in a much healthier way, you know.
Love just becomes a phrase that this guy is hustling.
What is love?
Kids don't know these days. Love is performance, not the words. People think the words are the only thing that counts. No, that's not love, because that's not how love goes. That's just, I don't give a damn about anybody but self, and let me see what I can take, and devil take the hindmost, which is not cool at all. I ran into an interesting situation. A woman tried to set this up. So she was ignorant. It was me and three other guys. And she wanted to call in this woman that she had just met that actually knew the rest of us. Because the woman was a pretty adept martial artist. So when she came in and met us, she bowed to us. So the woman that called her in, why are you bowing to them? Because they are masters of what they do. Well, I brought you in. No, not them. You have lost your mind. This is like coming in here and deciding you're going to have a boxing match with Godzilla. You know, in Kong, all at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Well, you're supposed, I may be, but not with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of sort of, lady, is that what you called me over here for? So she and the rest of us just had a drink because we've known each other for years. And the other woman was very upset about this. Well, you're supposed to take a stand. No, I'm not taking a stand on this one. These are the people that you smile at, grin at, and you want to get them on your side.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win this one. So, well, maybe if you had an affair with them, you could cut them off so they didn't get any tonight. But since, you know, that ain't what's happening here, you know, then that doesn't work either.
Oh, that's funny. I'm sure every woman somewhere can relate to that.
I call it the law of supply and demand. You know, I've spent most of my adult life in the pursuit, acquisition, and enjoyment of nookie, and women are the sole source and supply on the planet Earth. So it balances out. They can get my attention. But, you know, if that isn't what the case is, then, whoa. Better try something else. And the other thing, too, is, there is a thing called beauty. You're not supposed to be Gloria. Gloria is a lovely cartoon hippo out of Madagascar, that Walt Disney thing. But, you know, who wants a real live hippo?
Didn't she have a bow on her head and, like, a little skirt or something? Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking
and
about.
the giraffe had a crush on her, remember? When they got to Madagascar, the big bull hippo was saying, baby, she's so enormous, you know.
Oh, you're taking it back, Judge.
Really?
Wow.
But we have our glorious, one of them out there likes to go around naked and whine about people not treating her with respect. It's like you don't treat yourself with respect, woman. Put
yeah.
some clothes on, you know?
Yeah. He definitely. Yep, that's another one of the pieces.
Yeah, see, one thing. Let me interrupt you with just briefly on this little anecdote that went along with that. Woman said, Joe, could you talk to my granddaughter? I said, yeah, what's wrong? Just talk to her. I'll put her on the phone. Granddaughter was 11. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, Grandmama, what do you want me to talk about? She said, well, why did I have to stop you from eating a half a loaf of white bread the other day? She said, because I want to be beautiful. I said, what? She said, well, yeah, I want to put on weight so I can be beautiful like Lizzo.
Mm.
So you ate a half a loaf of bread? Oh, no.
Poor baby.
See, and the girl is going to be a looker when she grows up. I mean, and intelligent. So who is this fool ruining it for her?
The media, man. These kids idolize, you know, what they see on TV, and that's kind of what I was about to bring up. There's this song, you're talking about women respecting themselves, there's this song, I think it's by Lupe Fiasco, and I don't know if we can cuss on this, but the title of the song, it's, I think it's called Bitch Bad, and then the song is Woman Good, Lady Better, and you've got to listen to that song if you haven't heard it, but his label dropped him after that song, because in this song he is explaining to the kids, you know, what has happened to our viewpoint of ourselves and how we, you know, all the guys call and the women now refer to themselves as I'm a bad bitch, you know, whatever. And it's like he's showing how degrading it is and how the double meaning of it is confusing to the little girls and the little boys that are listening, and how the cycle, the song starts to explain the cycle growing up through life and how the boy ends up treating women as a man, and then what the woman, after she's grown up, what she thinks men expect of her and what she's supposed to portray herself like, you know. And that song is so good. It's so good for the kids to hear. Yeah, it's got some cuss words in it, but if you can get past that and listen to the message, you know, he's one of those people, Luke Kipiaski, he's trying to wake these kids up, you know. Hope y'all can still hear me. Hello?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
I can still hear you.
Yeah, I can.
Yes.
Okay,
you're coming through clearly. That's a good point.
Perfect.
Maybe we need to push that. Instead of getting blocked out by the idiots.
And you can just see the label dropped them because that's not the message that the media wants putting out to the kids. That's not the message. They don't want that. They don't want anybody waking these kids up. They want them sleeping. They want them in this zombie state that, you know, just keep acting the way we keep showing you should be acting. This is how, you know, we expect you to be, you know. Anything higher than that, you get punished for. You get punished for speaking the truth.
Yeah, there are a lot of perverts that run that industry, and they want their perversion spread because they're trying to recruit the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what do you want these kids to be when they grow up?
Nothing.
Well, what difference
Lost.
Does it make? They can have anything they want. No, they can't. You're not going to take it from somebody like me or somebody like you or somebody like that person over there. So how do they get it? Or did you ever think about that? And
you know,
what about
my Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to point out some of the stuff you touched on earlier about education. Like in Oregon, a while back, the governor in Oregon signed the law saying that, you know, the kids don't have to know math or know how to read in order to get a high school diploma. What's the point?
Because math is racist. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah, it's racist. Okay, like minorities don't have to read and do math?
Right.
Oh, I forgot.
When I hear
somebody's
the
going to pay for them having babies. Yeah.
When I hear the liberals tell me that, I'm like, okay, sure. All right, you guys are in power right now. It's your game we're playing. All right, cool. Yeah, sure, math is racist. But, all right, since math is racist, I'm going to take a check to the bank. Whatever I write that check out for, you're going to pay my house off with it. Whatever number I write down. That's what you're going to do, since math is racist.
Oh,
then they just look at you
like
that. What can they say? They can't say, you know, yeah, that's, you know, same thing with the voter ID stuff. You know, when Coca-Cola in Atlanta and Delta got all on board with that, and they're like, all right, sure, voter ID is racist. So what you should do, Coca-Cola, since Atlanta has a very high number of homeless black people, is you should go round up all the homeless people, no resume, no ID, give them all jobs. You've got 10,000 job openings, Coca-Cola. Fill them all with nothing but black folks. And don't ask for ID, don't ask for a resume, because if you do, that's racist. You know, if that's the game they want to play, play it. Don't, you know, all this stuff they're saying, you know, they don't even believe their BS. You know, because what are they going to say? Yeah, we could do that. They're not going to agree to that. They would crash their company. But then they can't say no, we can't do that, because then they'd be racist. So you just take their own ideology and use it against them. Walk the walk, then, if that's how you feel. If math is racist, we're going to all pay off our houses with whatever number we write on that check.
You know what?
And you're going to take that.
That's a pretty good idea. That'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one I don't love, in fact, I think Valerie and I had a discourse with this fool who was pushing it in the Atlanta area, take your booties to the poll, where they had third of the take your booties to the poll.
Oh, that's catchy.
They had strippers dancing on some strip poles, black males to go to the polling place, and it turned out a third of them were trannies. They weren't even women. So, like, okay, you're supposed to go to the poll because you saw bare flesh and you're supposed to vote because of that? What kind of fool do you make yourself out to be?
You know, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, come on, is voting too hard or is it too easy? Today, there are some midterm elections coming up this summer, and there are some people that need to be turned out. So we ought to be studying to see who needs to be turned out, not just making ourselves ignorant and let us go vote because we got told to vote without knowing who to vote for or why.
Right.
Hmm.
And a lot of people just vote based on what their family has voted on for years, you know, and not educate themselves on the actual function, you know, of the, you know, all these parties we have. They don't really educate themselves. But, you know, in their defense, if they're graduating, reading below grade level, well, how the hell are they going to understand the platforms anyway?
Right.
You know, everything goes back to education. We have to get that fixed. It is so broken, because if the intelligence levels in this country were much higher, half of this garbage would not fly.
Certainly wouldn't. But, you know, there is one thing, even if somebody is voting the way his family's always voted, but we have people who don't have a family history of voting that they're trying to turn out and take to the polls so they can do what? Get a handout with some people's pictures or maybe not on the handout and vote what's on that handout without realizing who you voted for. Here where I am, Memphis Shelby County, for the longest time, we had a guy that at one point in his life was the grand dragon of the Klan around here and then chairman of the White Citizens Council. And every time he ran for election or re-election, he got the black bloc vote because he always paid a lot of money to the black political leadership. And they'd put him on their ballots and hand it out, and he'd get the black bloc vote. He was nothing but a crazy racist. Not only a racist, he was just crazy and had mental health issues. So it was like, why are you doing this? Don't you? Well, it's about money, Joe. No, it's not all about money. Don't you have any obligation to the people you claim you represent?
Right.
What are you doing to them? Are you from Florida? I'll change the subject slightly.
I'm actually from the Atlanta area, north of Atlanta, and I lived there till I was 30. And I lived in Gwinnett, so I was on the north side, and I moved to Jacksonville about 5 years ago, just before everything got real crazy in Atlanta, real liberal. I mean, it was always kind of liberal, but it's like a different world now. When I go up there, I'm just kind of in shock at what I see.
If you got a carte blanche, what would you do?
If I got a what?
Carte blanche. In other words, here. Blank check. Do what you want to do. What would you do? Okay, if somebody gave you a blank, go ahead.
I would buy land, and I would probably start a ranch, and I would set it up, you know, to where kids in distress that need psychological help could come and learn, you know, responsibility, compassion, and have, you know, sort of like a rehab facility for wayward teens. That was my dream when I took psychology, to eventually have that one day to just kind of focus on the kids.
Yeah, that's important. You might run into some whose mothers decided to help themselves to the opportunity to run a hustle. That wouldn't be too cool, but that's not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you getting on the ladies? I'm not getting on the ladies. I'm getting on everybody that's doing wrong. Somebody's got to speak out about it because we shouldn't do what we do sometimes. When you start talking about we have to look out for self, well, yeah, but the thing of it is if you also weren't so selfish and helped others out, maybe you would get a little more cooperative effort.
Oh, and the COVID era that we're living in has made that worse. You know, people are so, the sense of community is destroyed. People are now being forced to distance themselves from each other. So when you live in isolation, I mean, I would say it's better now, but, you know, during 2020, it was really bad. You know, people just, it's not natural for us to live looking out just for yourself, staying isolated by yourself and not having a thought about another person. And I feel like that did a number on people's ability to care about each other. Because people now, still, they fight now over everything is a fight. It's almost like you're expected to argue about something at any given point, any day of the week. You know, you hear somebody's viewpoint, I must argue this point. And it's just, there's no sense of togetherness. There's no sense of community because patriotism has been destroyed and has become a bad word to be a patriot. And if we could repair the sense of patriotism we have, that would be the one thing that would crush all of what we're talking about, and the racism, and the religion differences, because at the end of the day, we're just Americans, and if you know, shit hit the fan, we would have each other's backs instead of infighting like we've been doing since COVID, you know?
Okay. That sounds like a good proposition for people to go post where they can see it several times a day.
Where they could go see it several times a day?
Yeah. In other words, hey, you don't live in this place alone. I know you feel like you're cut off sometimes and you don't get the full Monte's worth of value for what you think you put in, but maybe you need to reassess what you're putting in. Quit looking at everything as something holding you down and adversity, and start looking at things in terms of opportunities that present themselves.
Yeah,
I think we
have to stop segregating ourselves. That's what we're doing. Get out and spread out and experience life everywhere. You can't just keep yourselves segregated. That's what they want. That's what they've trained us to do. You know, we have to, like, start talking about those things. We can't do that anymore.
Okay. No, we don't do that. It's like people have gotten these myths that they have adopted, and the myths are supposed to explain everything. So all is to fall aside in the face of these myths. Valerie, I think, has some tape she wants to play. Ms. Valerie, you listening?
Yes.
Maybe you should play the tape.
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, I can
okay.
hear you. I do have two audio, Ms. Lopez, I'd like to you respond to get you and
okay.
judge's take on two things. And I have invited Attorney Gavin Richard to chime in. So 504-289, your mic is open. If you'd like to say hello before I play this audio clip, you're welcome to do so.
Okay. Well, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you guys are. How you doing, Judge? And to your guests, thank you for having me come on again. Hello, Valerie. Good to talk to you again.
Hello.
I've been tuning in, just listening to the conversation, and I'll be brief to what you were saying earlier. The guests were commenting about hip-hop and rap music and Lupe Fiasco. If you go on YouTube right now and interview with a guy by the name of Crazy Bone, and he talks about a meeting at the place that changed rap music. Now, this is also something I've even read in Business Insider about a music exec who described a meeting that...
Gavin, you're a bit muffled. You're a bit muffled. Can you adjust your mic, please? Sorry. Yeah.
When my mic is on, I'm...
Just garbled.
Okay, well, I mean, I got the phone on my ear, but...
Much better.
Yeah.
Much better. Uh-huh.
Okay. That's better? Well...
What did you say? I couldn't really understand what you were saying. Could you repeat that?
I was talking about hip-hop music. I was talking about hip-hop since you mentioned... You mentioned earlier Lupe Fiasco. What I was just saying is that what you saw in hip-hop that took place, I want to say starting in the late 80s, early 90s, when you saw gangster rap take over. Well, this rap artist, his name is Crazy Bones. If you go look at his YouTube channel, as well as YouTube channel, he talks about a meeting that took place about how music executives wanted to change the direction of hip-hop. Because remember, rap was something that back in the 70s and 80s, they did not take serious. You know, they didn't even have Grammy Awards for rap music. Remember,
they boycotted the Grammys because they didn't recognize the rap artist back in 88. So what has happened now, and unfortunately, is that I find that our community of black folks, we miss out on things, is that we gave up control very easily of our music, of our culture that is highly profitable and is admired by people. You see, what they don't like black people, but they like our music. They like our culture. They like that culture, but they don't like you. And and unfortunately, we don't realize that everything is fun and dance. There's no business side to it. That's why we miss out. That's why a lot of our artists go broke, too, unfortunately. Some of them don't pay attention to what's in the fine line of the contract. The other point I'd like to make, as far as the kid eating, I heard Judge talk about that kid that was eating a half a loaf of bread. You know, our kids and celebrities to look like Lizzo, you know, our kids are doing the wrong thing. We have to realize most of these celebrities, first off, they have as much insecurities about themselves than common day people even have, because they worry about staying on top of everything. You know, that's a business. If you're in entertainment, you're only as good as your next movie or your next album, because all of it is based off the public. But, yeah, I just wanted to just throw that in, and, you know, I look forward to listening to what you all have to say further.
Thank okay, you. Ms.
John
Valerie,
Lopez, would you guys like to respond? Oh, I just
here.
Wanted to give you an opportunity. Okay, so, Judge, this is for you.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Reports, merchandise, and more.